This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women.
Hello, welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I am Hattie Ashdown, and this is another episode in our series of Mums on TV. And joining me today is, of course, my regular co-host, and she's now freshly 40. I hope I'm allowed to say that. It's Gemma Beagley.
Hello, evening.
She's now 40. She's a woman. Flirty and in her 40s. No. Have you had all that thrown at you? You know,
naughty 40, yeah.
Naughty 40?
Yeah. Life begins, all that, yeah.
What was that?
Life begins at 40, apparently. Oh, so the previous 40 was just complete waste of time.
Yeah, no, waste.
It all starts at fucking, what's the point?
It's just funny, there's all these things that just make you feel better, like you've got to be made to feel better. It's like, it's all right to be 40.
I also feel like in the old days, life began at 40 because you had your kids when you were 18. And then it was like, and now it's like, we just had our kids, guys. We just had our fucking kids.
And that voice you can hear, which I feel like I've got to introduce because all our voices, let's be honest, is not that dissimilar.
Yeah, we're born within 1 mile of each other.
Finally.
She's officially a regular because this is her third time on Funny Mummies. She has an extensive credit list, but her agent failed to update her page with her recent work of being a celebrity on Bear Grylls and MasterChef celebrity. It's actress, filmmaker, comedian, mum of one, legend, and my friend, Josie Long.
Hello, it's lovely to be here. I'm sorry I couldn't resist jumping in.
No, but I love it. I love it. It was a perfect job. But it is true, isn't it? All these things were made up for my husband, who is a little bit younger than me. He does it. Like, if he's making a bit of a joke, he'll go, oh, yeah, well, this guy was about, you know, in his 40s. And I'm like, excuse me. It's still referenced as...
really far away.
Really you far be away.
Like, mate, it's not far away.
Not far away.
Right here.
So we are talking about mums on TV, but before we get to all that, first of all, off the back of what we were talking about off air before you came on, I like to call it on air, Josie, I'm old school, was I had my headphones in a weird way, and it made me think of Dot Cotton, who is a mum on TV.
Yes. A hard done by mum.
But she had them on. It was a whole joke that she had them on upside down. Do you remember, like the Walkman type headphones? And she, and that was a whole. I just remember that being a whole funny joke.
That's a whole storyline.
There was that, and then the next year, Nasty Nick.
The next year, kills her son.
So listen, Dot, get some light relief while you can, mate.
She's not even in it anymore, is she?
But she's dead.
Oh, no, she's not dead. Here's the thing about her. I'm obsessed
with June Brown?
She's not. June Brown, she's
going to
keep
going. No, she's still going, Gemma.
She, thank God.
I tell you what, I know this. Right, here's what
I met her once. Anyway, go on, sorry.
Oh, yours is probably a better answer than mine.
No, go on.
Okay, I'm obsessed with ITV, reality TV. For example, they did a show called Getting High Trip or something, and they basically took loads of celebrities around America and got them stoned. It was incredible. Miriam Margulies, she was game for anything. She loved it.
Oh, I love her.
I think it was John Fashanu, who's quite religious and really anti, but by the end he was kind of pro for certain things, which was big breakthrough. Can't remember any of the other guests, but it was an incredible show. And then after that, I watched... Linda Robson, thank you. Johnny watched it with me. Johnny's just come in the room and he remembers. Linda Robson, obviously Linda's game. We don't need to worry about that. Then I became so enamored.
As in Birds of a Feather, Linda Robson.
Yes, yes.
Another mum. We'll get to that.
I, I was thinking about them, and I'm glad I've flagged it for later.
Yeah.
So, it's such good TV because they have access to the best kinds of celebrities, you know, people, you know, as we've just stated, and they're all so like old school classy with it and silly too, right? So there was that show. Then there was a show called 100 Years Younger in 30 Days or something like that. 6 weeks to get 100 years younger. And they had about 10 celebrities, including Sean Ryder from Happy Mondays and June Brown. And what they did was they measured their mental, physical, and I want to say emotional ages. Mental, physical, and facial ages.
Right.
And June Brown, they were like, physically, June Brown, you're 91. She's 90 fucking one. June Brown, you're 91. Physically, you're 51. Mentally, you're 41. Actually, you're 81. But they basically said to June Brown, there's nothing you can do that would be better than you're already doing.
Than the 60 fags a day.
And then, yeah, and then they said, you could stop smoking 100 fucking fags a day. And she literally was like, oh, no, dear. She said, they said one of the reasons she says great is because at 91, she's still regularly learning lines in that intensive way.
Really?
It's keeping her brain in tip-top shape.
Well, I mean, that is the theory of some actresses and stuff, I guess. And
they must work hard, though. You're right, Josie, right? I mean, you know, Rita Fairclough from Coronation Street, and she's in her 80s. And they're working, what, six days a week, surely? It's hard.
And she does a kind of yogic movement every day that she showed on. I just can't recommend the show enough. It was so fucking good.
You love all that reality stuff. I normally only enjoy them if I'm watching them with someone. But yeah, tell me when you're watching another one, because if I know you're watching, then that makes me feel closer. Love it. Now, okay, so we normally I feel like you don't need the quick fire round. So, do you want the whole Funny Mummy experience?
Yeah.
But I feel like so I do this silly little thing now. I don't think we did it when you came on before. Of like I always say that, like, especially if we don't really know someone that well, and also you know, with the mum in mum conversations, you never get to really find out anything about them or finish a conversation. Yeah. So it's like a little way of finding out who is Josie Long.
That'd be good for me to know as well, because I don't even know anymore.
The woman behind the child. Okay, so number one, early night or lay in?
Lay in. Anyone who's choosing early night is a mug. Absolutely. Mug. Lay in. Lay in every day.
Is that just since having a child?
Or no. This is since my earliest memory, and I'm not exaggerating, is my mum coming to wake me up. And me saying, it's not fair, I don't go to play school, my sister goes to play school, why do I have to wake up to take her to play school?
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true, it does seem unjust, doesn't it?
Thank you.
It's not me.
Listen, I'm 18 months old, Mum, leave me here.
And so your mum verifies that now, you were just a good sleeper.
I was. So my sister was, my older sister was born premature and she had colic and she was sort of had a lot of issues as a kid. And then when I was born, I was like, I just want to sleep and eat.
You're the angel. You're the angel that came after. My mum always said, my oldest sister, she went, I hope she doesn't hear this. she was always highly strung. I don't really know what that means apart from saying that she was a difficult child. And then she talks about when my sister came along, the second child, she goes, me and your dad, we just used to stand in the doorway and look at her sleeping and go, we can't believe it. So, yeah, second child thing.
God, I want a second child. Did you guys find that? Like, how did you find it?
Sleep-wise, actually, Hux was in some ways a better sleeper, but only because Hux was a really good napper. And
a good nap is a game changer. It's a game changer.
It's a game changer. Okay, second question. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Online shopping or going into a shop?
Online shopping, because for me, like, I love to try a thing on. I love to see a thing. Great. But my patience for shopping I have about 10 minutes in me, and it's like an energy meter in a computer game, and it just goes down, 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 and then suddenly from out of nowhere, it's like, I can't take this anymore. And even if I've got things that I want in my hands, I will just throw them on the floor. I just can't do it. I have such a small amount of patience for it before. And I've been, you know, trying on a dress that I love, and literally I hit that point and I'm like, I don't love it enough for this. No, get out.
Do you ever go in? Oh, I mean, I think my answer would be shopping generally, but sometimes I do get really enthusiastic. I think, yeah, I'm going to go in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then do that. Then just like throw it all down because
it's not worth it.
Not worth it. throw it at the poor security guard.
My big exception, although I do most of my grocery shopping online now, obviously, I love a supermarket. I love going to a supermarket.
I love a supermarket shop.
It's brilliant. Like, and I know ethically, I wish we could all go to like the boulangerie and the, you know, épicerie and stuff. But like, oh my God, I love it.
And what do you love about it?
Okay, I feel lots of things. I feel really safe because I feel like there's all this bounty and we'll not starve. And I feel really excited because there's so much there and it's like so much choice. And I just love it. And also I love eating. So it's a dream.
And you love cooking. So.
I love cooking. Yeah, I genuinely just love it.
So the images of like empty shelves and stuff was like, because I was like,
yeah.
How was you?
I was just like, oh my God, this is the end of the world, this is it. It was awful, yeah.
Very frightening.
But again, is that since having a child, or have you always loved food shopping?
No, forever.
Forever.
So. My favourite thing is going in a supermarket when you're on holiday in a different country.
Oh, yes!
Love it. All the products are different.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I try those crisps.
And
you know they're just going to taste like Monster Munch or something.
But. Oh, yeah, totally. But like until you get it. And especially in a country where you can't read the writing. So if you go to like Greece or Japan or something and the writing, you're just like, I can't even guess. What this is. What a joy.
Oh, I love it.
I remember going into a supermarket in Spain. This would have been, I don't know, late 90s. And he had ashtrays on the trolley. I thought it was brilliant. I was like, this is just heaven for me.
Also, God, the meeting where they're like, okay, so we have the trolley. I mean, we'll need ashtrays. Oh, it's so gross.
It's brilliant.
In Edinburgh, up until about 2000 and, I don't even know, six maybe, before the smoking ban, on the train up to Edinburgh, there was the smoking car.
Oh.
You
remember that? I don't think I had one when I was going to Edinburgh, but I do remember the smoking car. Oh, yeah.
Because that, on the trains to Scotland, that was a party car. Like, people would be getting in that car to smoke and drink for 5 hours.
Wow. But they were dangerous now. Like the compartments on a train where it's just like in Harry Potter, you know,
Yeah.
You know why I'm referencing Harry Potter? My son's into Harry Potter, so I've seen the first one about 100 times now.
My daughter's just got into Moana. It's the first time she's really got into a film.
Oh, it's so good when they get into something good.
And also I really like it because I'm like, oh, it's teaching her that there are other cultures and other languages.
Yeah.
And also it's just really beautiful to watch.
I know, the bit with the gran, you just cried.
Monterey Ghost Grandma.
I know.
And it's such a feminist film, I think.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Cleaning a toddler's teeth or changing their nappy?
Teeth. Teeth is a pleasure. When they acquiesce. When they're like, no, I want to do it, no. Unbearable. When they acquiesce, it's so satisfying.
Oh, it's so satisfying. Mind a nightmare having his nappy changed. Always has been.
Just doesn't like it.
He just wriggles. I'm really hoping it's a prerequisite that he's going to potty train early because my friend's daughter did that, so I hope. Last one. Takeaway. Get yourself a takeaway coffee or take your own flask coffee.
I wish I was a flask girl. In my dreams, I'm a flask girl. And you know, on my best days, I'm a flask girl. But most of the time, she's getting a takeaway.
I knew it. It's been a lot of chat on Instagram about takeaway coffees, about it being my
but
thing.
I can get it in a keep cup.
Yeah. Keep cup. You can deal with that.
And keep cup.
Keep cup.
Yeah, and is that because I'm not a coffee drinker? Don't hate me, but is
well,
it
not coffees either?
But is coffee good, still good in a cup that isn't like a
it's lovely
paper cup or whatever? Imagine like design the coffee to have it in a paper cup.
Well, no. Well, basically, if you're giving the cup to them, they'll make it delicately and beautifully in your own special cup, and they'll make you like a little.
The plasticky. Like cups I've got, I just think it doesn't taste as good as their.
It has to be as like a ceramic.
Yeah.
Cup for me. I can't bear plastic.
I've been into the flask this last week. I'm generally a takeaway coffee girl. I talk about how. I just like think that something about me. Do you ever get that thing where you're going for a walk or something? You see someone else with a coffee, a takeaway coffee, and you're like, they're just having a better walk than me. They're having such a better time. And like,
but I do feel that way about flask people. Like, say you're in the park and a family's got a flask and a picnic. I'm like, they're doing it.
That's what gave me the idea. My friend did it, and I thought, right. But the only flask I had was my Tommy Tippy flask. So now that's what I'm using.
Yeah.
Who is Tommy Tippy? Like, what was his life? What's his story?
I don't know, but he likes making bottles. Right.
Tell you, the man is obsessed with cups.
Right, we're half hour in, and let's talk about... So, mums on TV. Let's first ask, can you remember when you were little? Let's go back to when you were little, maybe. What was your... Or just when I ask you, like, mums on TV, what's the first thing you think of?
Okay, so the first thing I think of is somebody who I think has sullied their legacy somewhat, and that is, I love the first series of Roseanne, that family and her as a mum in that series. I love it so much because partly she was kind of learning to act in that series.
Yes.
She'd been a stand-up comedian and she was learning to act with her on-screen husband. And as a result, you could just tell that her way of acting was just to flirt with him. And it's so charged and gorgeous and loving. Like, they're really into each other.
She's not
a very good actor and she's just kind of, just obviously fancies him a bit. And I think it's really cool. And I remember that family a lot was a big, big part of my growing up. Like,
they were a big, there was like five seasons or so? It was a lot.
I think there was 10 seasons and it really went all over the shop. And for me, the first season is set apart from even the second, because by the second, whatever tension they had is gone in a different way that, it's a lot more of like a studio-y sitcom. It's still good, but that first series, they're just giggling so much. It has this really electric energy. But yeah, it's a funny thing because it's like, listen to the Smiths, now you know.
Like,
I like it. It's good.
She was the highest paid person on TV, right? After a few series, she was like Oprah. She earned tens of millions of dollars.
Because as well, like, it was like what they'd say, like blue collar, wouldn't they? Like, is it blue? It's blue collar, isn't it?
I was trying to write that because I was like, because if people don't know, obviously we are not endorsing Roseanne, what's that fair name? Cherry Bar or something. And obviously, a lot of the series have actually been taken off the network. You can't even find anything anywhere. But there's clips. There's some clips on YouTube. But
it's a shame, and it isn't. Like, there's so many good people making good stuff all the time, and it probably doesn't help to dwell on things from the past if they're related to kind of people behaving cruelly, but at the same time, like, it's a weird
thing. But it wasn't all about, it's about family.
Wasn't an offensive thing in any way. Like,
no.
Series one is not the slightest bit. It would offend no one on this earth. It's not a cruel thing. It's not a rude thing. It's just a great family sitcom.
And you're right. It was, I was trying to think the word, but it was kind of a working I mean, I remember loving it as well, and I remember loving the kids. I'd never seen anything like that on TV, the relationship of them with the kids, you know, that kind of like, they would be quite strict with them, but also be
quite naughty as well.
Naughty, and be really honest.
Yeah, like slagging up teachers to them or sort of making jokes with them. Yeah. Okay, this is bleak. The other family that I really loved growing up was the Cosby Show. And I just feel like it's all been stolen. But something else, that there's a particular mum on TV that I was reminded of this past week, and that is in Sister Sister. The mum in Sister Sister, one of the most iconic performances. And the worst part is that I'm going to have to look up her name because I just watched as a child and didn't sort of...
I don't think I remember this. I remember it coming up.
They were adopted. Is that right?
It's I think it must have been on
in the
kids' TV.
Early 90s?
Mid-90s Nickelodeon, was it? It was on Nickelodeon.
It starts, I think, in 1994. Give me 10 seconds because... Oh, it's Jackie Harry! Yeah. She is the most, like, lovable, vivacious, funny mum. And, like, did, like, remind me a little bit of my mum as well. Like, very big, performative, loud, sort of sweet, the sort of person that other people then make jokes at her expense, but ultimately the other people are revealed to be pricks.
Right.
But it's about two twin sisters who are separated and adopted by two different families. One is adopted by a single mum, one is adopted by a single dad, and then they all come back together. Oh. And the dad is quite strict and quite straight-laced.
Yeah.
And the mum is this sort of free spirit who's very... like joyful and loud and inappropriate and like, yeah, that was she was an absolutely classic TV mum to me. Like, yeah,
that's the one of the best premises for a program, is
right?
You can split up at birth.
Twin sisters split up, but then they get together. And it's a really fun show. I haven't really watched it yet, but I saw it come on TV and I was like, yes, mate.
That's what the go home, Roger. That's that one, right?
Yes.
The kids.
Boy, Roger, he's obsessed with both of them. He can't believe it. There's two of them now. And also it's really funny because he's like 2 foot shorter than them, which is actually realistic.
That's Jackie Harry. And
I can't remember what her name in the show was. Hang on, let's have a look.
Oh, Lisa. I think I found.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Lisa Landry. No?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, because it's Tia. Is it Tia Landry? Oh, this is right.
Yeah.
I not remember it properly.
That's all right. No, it's not a quiz. It's not a quiz on TV mums.
She's just so lovable in the way that I really love my mum. Like, she's sort of just, you'd want to give her a cuddle.
Right. You know?
You'd want her to be there supporting you, I think. But then also I was thinking Birds of a Feather because I love Pauline Quirk so much. I love it.
Do you?
And she comes up a lot on this podcast. Sorry.
I love her.
We had a
real life lover.
I think she's brilliant. I think she's... I love... Well, she came up before because she's got her drama school, right? She's
Pauline Quirk Academy.
Yeah.
You could send your daughter
to the community for a prize, but it is giving back to the community.
But yes, are they both mums in Birds of a Feather?
You're right, Linda Robson is, but Pauline Quirk isn't, because Pauline Quirk's the little sister.
Yes, so it's just Linda Robinson, Birds of a Feather. She has a son, like she's at university. He's at university.
Do you even see him?
No.
I think you do see him eventually.
Maybe in a later series.
Because the husbands come home from prison eventually, don't they?
Yeah. Wait a minute, because isn't there a thing with the neighbour, Doreen Bird?
Yeah.
Who's always going, what's his name around? Like, she always wants to flirt
what was
with...
his name? What was his name? It wasn't Tristan or something, was it?
Are you thinking Mrs. Bouquet?
Mrs. Bouquet.
Oh,
there's a mum.
Now that.
You never saw him. You never saw her son.
No, you didn't.
No. Now, my Tristan. Wasn't that my Tristan?
I thought it was Sheridan.
Sheridan!
Sheridan! Yes.
My Sheridan. He's doing her degree. Blah, 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 blah. It was always that on the phone. She was.
I suppose this is all American stuff. I'm trying to. Sorry, my brain. This isn't American, but initially the first ones were American stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what? A sad one. Butterflies. Do you remember that sitcom Butterflies about a mum who was just really unhappy?
Yeah, we. I talked about that in our little intro. Episode, but I'm so glad because, like, Gemma, you don't really remember. You don't really remember it, do you, Gemma?
No, I remember the reruns, but I didn't really watch it. I just remember the theme tune.
It's funny that you say it's sad. I guess it is sad, but it's sort of like in that Mike Lee sad sort of funny. Do you know what I mean? Like I remember it affectionately, but yeah. So what would you? So before I won't say any. What were you going to say about it? What's your
Well, what I really remember about it was I think I thought that her sons were quite fit. And I do really remember. And I think also, so I don't think my parents were particularly happy when I was a kid. And I guess I must have picked up on that vibe. So when I watched Butterflies, I was like, yeah, that's life. You know?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Because I came at it from a different angle of... maybe just being a bit of a romantic, like my bloody mum. Not saying you're not romantic, but like because I wasn't going through that, I just was like, oh well, she does love him. She's just a bit bored with her life, and that's why she has this friend. I think I remember later on, like my sister going, "You do know she's, you know, sort of having an affair with him." He's like, "Oh no, don't ruin it. It's just a friend."
No, leave her alone. She's not having an affair with him.
But yes, we talked about it because obviously the writer of that is the same writer as Bread.
Oh, yeah, Carla Lane.
Carla Lane. So
oh, no, that is a classic mum. What's the mum in Bread?
Nellie Boswell.
The Mrs. Brown's boys of her day.
But now there's a mum.
Oh, yeah. That is kind of mad, isn't it? That like,
yeah,
things had sort of regressed in a way that they wouldn't. That was the only sort of avenue to put on a kind of big, brassy working class family sitcom. Quite recently.
Yeah. There hasn't really. Well, we've had Royal Family.
That's
over 20
years old,
isn't
it?
Oh, yeah. My God.
I didn't used to like Royal Family when it came out. Right. Because I was only a teenager, and it just reminded me of, like, being bored at my family's house.
Yeah, it's too close.
Too close to home. And I think now I should re-watch it, because I feel like now I'd watch it and be like, wow, this is perfectly observed. You know?
Yeah.
Whereas at the time, I'd be like, yeah, this is shit.
Sheila Grant.
I think the thing is about Royal Family is that you just have these, you know, like real actors, like real classically trained actors in Sue Johnston. Yeah. You know, where she's a proper actress, you know, she's not Ricky Gervais who does his own, but you know, she's a real actress.
Yeah.
And I think it's her that carries it.
Yeah. So what do you think of her mum character? Is that something you would... she wasn't...
Oh, she was treated appallingly, wasn't she?
Yeah, I think she wasn't... I always look at characters...
Sorry, I got excited because I was thinking, I wonder if there's a mum from the 80s or 90s in fiction that we would look at now and be like, I'd love to be like that mum.
Oh, good question.
Yeah, right?
We haven't set that question, Gemma.
What's that film about the woman and she inherits, is the wrong word, but she becomes the guardian for a baby. Inherits is definitely the wrong word. She becomes the guardian for a baby and then she starts like an applesauce
bin. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Oh, what's it called?
Or like Mermaids, you know, in Mermaids with Cher. I don't really remember the film, but I remember the mum only cooked hors d'oeuvres and thinking that was pretty cool. And they go swimming as well.
And she ends up with Bob Hoskins again. I'm not sure.
It's a great day.
So do you think you look at So when we mean Gemma talked on the intro one, we sort of analysed that Gemma seems to like mums that are sort of quite tough and had it quite hard, and they're quite hard mums.
Mm.
So would you
I like
say
a soft mum.
You look at the
your you got a soft huggy mum. I'm a bit more like, go on, off you go. You know, don't touch me.
Give
don't
over.
Oh, don't give me a kiss, you soppy bugger.
No, I like kind of like, don't worry, we'll show them. Now let's put on some music and dance.
Yeah, so like the Cher mum.
Right, yeah, so dancing in the kitchen mum.
But she's a bit... She's not very maternal, though, is she, though? She's a bit more like, oh, I forgot to make the dinner type mum, isn't she? Like...
Yeah, this is where I'm falling down, because honestly, my only recollections are... The mum cooked hors d'oeuvres and no other food, and they went swimming. And honestly, I would settle for that. That's a good.
But you like the spontaneity of the old.
Yeah, the fun
mum.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Mmm.
My nose
almost. Is that Winona Ryder?
Yeah.
And Christina Ricci, right?
Christina Ricci, that's right, yeah.
Yes, the swimming girl, yeah.
So, Josie, if you had to write a mum character, have you ever thought about writing a sitcom?
Well, I wanted to write a show about where I played a mum who has a two-year-old and she's a single mum and she's sort of got this ex-partner who's very wealthy and, pardon me, and controlling. And then she finds out that one of his family's friends is somebody who helped seed and promote climate change denialism in his heyday. And she finds out of this kind of family venue thing she has to go to, like a family party. And she basically, something in her brain snaps and she kidnaps this guy, but she has to take the baby as well. And she like kidnaps him to show him like the effects of climate change where she lives. But I've pitched it to about 20 places and honestly, no one even wants a whiff of it. So it's never going to happen. But I would love to write something about the complete and total like chaos of how intense and loving and fun and silly it is to have a kind of toddler, but also how exhausted you are.
Do you think it's it's interesting, isn't it? Because
I like seeing things that show the intimacy of the relationship between parents and children, of like jokes and playfulness, and
right,
people really listening to each other, like people really getting on their kids' level, listening to them, being with them and playing. And I feel like that's something I've maybe seen in films, but I don't know how much. I didn't really watch Outnumbered, but I feel like maybe that's what Outnumbered was like.
Go back to Roseanne, but Roseanne, when you said that, that was Roseanne to me.
Yeah,
really was that kind of coming down to and being able to connect.
Lots of shows.
Better Things, which I've since we spoke. I mean, she is. And I feel that she's like that. She's just. Yes. She's now become my absolute hero.
It's proper parenting in that, definitely. It's experiences between the three of them. Two kids and the mum, isn't it?
Three single kids, mum of three girls.
Oh, I see. Yeah, sorry.
I turned Gemma onto it and she's absolutely loves her. It's just brilliant. I think I don't know why it's not been, well, here anyway, it's not been, I don't feel like I've heard anyone talk about it.
No, I think it's quite a cult favourite in the States, though. I do, just because it's been recommissioned that many times.
I love it. I think there's not been anything like it in terms of mum representation of not being afraid to also go, oh, my kids they're a bit of a prick sometimes.
Yeah. I've been a prick. We've fallen out and neither of us have been a prick, but like being real about it. And I think as well, you know, if we're going to talk about people behaving badly, like she's somebody who in the past had quite a big professional relationship with Louis CK. And then
when
he kind of was outed, she was very, very honourable about distancing herself and being really kind of on the side of victims and stuff. And it was really, really fucking cool. Like that's a big risk on her part.
And they carried on commissioning that programme afterwards as well. So it was like, thank God she did. He wasn't her Achilles heel, if you will. You know, he wasn't, she could carry on without him.
Yeah.
And she was in Grease 2, so for me, it's just like tick, tick, tick. I'm just...
Gemma did a bit digging. Tell them who she played.
She was Dolores Rebchuk. You've got to be a biker or a biker's old lady. Paulette's little sister, the annoying one, is trying to join the pink ladies.
She's kind of secretly a little bit in love with, what's his name? The heartthrob.
Michael Carrington.
She's very flirty with him, but she's like a little kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do remember that. I'm just looking up on grease.fandom.com. That's her! That's amazing!
Yeah.
I know. But I'm trying to go slow with it because I don't want it to end. So I'm being slow then.
An author's dead and I know that I've not read all their books and I think I'm not going to rush to read the last two because, like, that's it.
Oh... Yeah, that's the thing now. It's not like the old days when you have to wait for the episode. You've got the whole lot.
Control yourself.
You've got to control yourself. Right, well, I'm going to let you go, but you don't have to go. And thank you so much.
Oh, my God, thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be in both of your company.
Oh,
good to have you.
One day we'll all be together properly.
Can you imagine how wonderful it will feel when we can all just sit and record together in a little room and then all go and sit and have a meal and a drink?
Before the lockdown, I managed to do some of these in person, but I'm only allowed to have one guest, so I couldn't have Gemma. So I just have one person. And that was a joy. Not that Gemma wasn't there. I mean that, that I was in a studio again. But yeah, so it was, and we're just all so excited to just be. But so that's the thing. That's what I'm taking from this so far. It's appreciating the little things.
Oh, that's beautiful. So, yeah. Going for walks with my daughter and on a daily basis being able to do things. And, like, you know, you'll know, like, as a comedian, you're always out and about trying to, like, go to some place, do this, like, the other. And it was really nice, like, seeing swans from egg to swan.
Oh, yeah, that is an absolute joy.
Every day. Yeah.
That was, and I've just been running the duck and swan shit.
I love it.
I just keep taking it home with me on my trainers. I've been one day running this week and I think I'm flipping Usain
Bolt. I love it.
Gemma, what are you taking so far from whole pandemic?
I think it is that idea. You know, I mean, I'm still working a day job and I feel very lucky to, you know, to be in that position. However, things have stopped and it is that, do you know what? Things have stopped. It's completely out of my control. And so it's that acceptance. I've had to practice acceptance that I can't see my family. You know, I can't go and see and hug my baby nephew and all that. It's just a real practice of acceptance, which I'm not sure if I've got any better, to be honest with you, but I'm forced into it, right? So it's
you're working on it. And I think that's the thing. You hear people, don't you, going, oh, I'm fed up with this and this, and you just think you're using too much energy on just moaning or what, but you're fed up. You just, a certain acceptance. Not an acceptance that you give up.
Not resignation.
No. Yeah.
But a kind of peace, a peace with it.
Yeah. Oh.
That's all anyone wants, right? That's all I bloody want.
Peace.
That's all I want.
Peace in your noggin. And on that note, thank you very much, Gemma Beagley. Thank you very much, Josie Long. Please do keep downloading, subscribing, telling your friends. And take care of yourselves. Thanks. Bye. You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast in association with The Other Woman Show with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to Gemma Beagley and our guest today. Please see the write-up in this episode to find out how you can follow us and our guest online. This show is edited by Alex Holland, recorded via Zoom. The show also goes out on Thursdays on Soho Radio as part of The Other Woman Collective, where often you can hear the full music version of the show. If you'd like to support us and get lots of goodies, like a video version where you can see our mugs, go to Funny Mummies on Patreon, where you can buy us a coffee or maybe an hour's childcare. Thanks very much for listening. Keep subscribing and telling your friends. It really, really does help. We'll see you next time for a dose of Mum and Tonic.